Hello and welcome to Dream It, Dare It, Do It, Live the Life You Want. Jasmine here again to bring you an episode of just, you know, down to earth conversations is what I'm up to. And today I have a friend of mine called Hervé Caron. Hi, Hervé.
Hello, Jasmine. Nice to be here.
Thank you for coming. So as you will see, everybody, Hervé is a French speaker and I'm a French speaker, but we're having this conversation in English for you because, you know, the podcast's English, so that's what we both decided to do. Hervé
right.
and I are part of the French community. We are committee members for the 3P French community. So we're bringing this conversation of the three principles to French speaking people. If you have any French friends that are looking to understand this conversation, please send them over to our platform. And I'm gonna put the links in the description so that you guys can know where to go, but it's also in my link tree so you can get it there. But before we move on, I'm going to say hi, Hervé.
Hello, again. It's the first time that we speak English together. We're always French, usually.
I agree. You speak good English.
Thank you.
You worked in English, right? That was your work.
That's right. Since 30 years, I've been working in an English-speaking environment.
And where are you in the neck of the, in the world right now?
I'm in Toulon, which is south of France, right next to the ocean. Yes.
I see. So he is in Toulon. And I'm learning so many different places in geography that I had no idea existed with the 3P French community. Hervé, let's dig in. So one of the conversations I had last week was with another friend of mine, and what occurred to me was I never asked her, you know, how she came into this conversation. And as you got online, I said, you know, I never asked Hervé how he got onto this conversation, because I feel that when we talk, you really have a clear understanding of what the three principles are. So how did you get into it?
Yes, well, for the first part of my life, I was not interested at all into anything that had to do with psychology or mind. I made some scientific study originally, and then I moved to New York to study computer science. I did an MBA in finance, and boom, I went into the rat race, worked for some banks, and made four kids, which are all American. And I went with my life that way, and everything seemed to be good for living a life where you're not at all focusing on anything that has to do with well-being. Anyway, happy family. I moved back to France about 30 years ago. In fact, directly to Switzerland in Basel, which is at the corner of France and Germany. It's at that time that I started studying a bit more psychology. I also got divorced, started living a very different life, got a new girlfriend. She left and I was devastated. And at that time, I started focusing on what emotions were. Those feelings were so strong. I said, I need to understand a bit more about feelings, where they come from, how can we feel so bad when we feel bad? And at that time, I started reading a book which was called Mind Lines, which is how using linguistic you can send the brain into around 36 different roads. And that was my start into NLP. At that time, I started studying NLP. I found that to be extremely interesting. I did my practitioner with John Grinder and master practitioner with Bandler, which are the two founders of NLP. And I continued in that domain. That was amazing. I was very interested in that. I read lots of books, did lots of seminars, and so on. And it really focuses on how on the structure of experience. By modifying the structure of your experience, you modify how you feel about something. That was very interesting to me because suddenly there were a bit of flexibility, you know. You could play a bit with your brain, and that had a direct impact on your experience of life. So that was quite nice. Also, there is lots of techniques in NLP which are quite useful for phobia, for a number of topics. You can play with that, and that was not only interesting, but helpful for the friends around me. Well, during all that time, I was having a banker's career. So I was
banker's
also...
Banker's what?
Career.
Oh, career. Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah.
I continued to climb in the institution that I was working for, and I was having more and more responsibility with more and more people. During my free time, I was doing that. And one of these days, I went into a seminar done by Michael Nain. At that time, he was not a 3P guru as he is today. He was still doing his standard seminar, but he had glimpse of 3P. I think he was starting with the Pransky and with some other old Sydney Banks student. And he started saying a few things that really shuffled my understanding on how the brain is working. And so at that time, I started studying also a number of other people doing 3P work. And I attended, I think, the second or third conference, 3P conference, which was in the old days, where it was in a synagogue in London, and there were, I don't know, 300 people, 200 people during that. And then I stayed on the train up till today. The big thing for me was to understand that, yes, indeed, when with NLP, when you play with the structure of your thinking, it plays on the experience, and it really focuses on the structure of things. With the three principles, you start to have a glimpse on the nature of experience. Where does this experience of life that we have comes from? And there is this energy of life, which we call esprit during our seminars, which
yeah.
is mind in English, which fuels us and fuel our thinking process, which creates our reality moment by moment, and this is projected on our consciousness, on the consciousness, I should say, to give us this experience of life. And what's amazing with that is that this is a process that is in real time, that goes on and goes on. And every second you have this, we're creating our reality with our thought, and we have the experience of this reality moment by moment. And understanding that is quite fundamental, because it gives you a lot of flexibility on your creation process. Your thought process becomes your, which is your reality, becomes something that you can influence. So life is not happening to you anymore. You're creating life, the life that you have. Mm-hmm. And that, as soon as you understand that you're the creator of your experience, well, then you become the master of the game. You know, every morning you have this white sheet of paper, and you can create pretty much whatever you want with that. And then you prefer to create something which is fun and nice than something which is a nightmare. So you can really create an horror movie, or you can create a Walt Disney. And you're really the driver of that.
So let me ask you, Hervé, in what you're saying, some people might think it's control.
This is control of your thoughts.
Yeah. Like, well, what would you say to them, those who are thinking that you're controlling?
Okay. There's a bit of truth of that, and it's not control, it's driving where you want to drive. There is, the first thing is that we're not really the driver of our life there. We're the co-pilot of our ship. We're not just the pilot. There is a difference there, because, well, let me first focus on the driver or the co-pilot. We know nowadays that our thought process is happening regardless of if we think that we're driving this, the thought process. We had lots of conversation on free will also on that particular topic. But before we make a decision, we know, because of imagery in the brain, that the choice has been made before. So when we have a thought process on a decision that we want to take, the choice has been made before. It shows on the imagery of the brain. So in that aspect, we could say that we have absolutely no control over our life, because everything is been decided even before we think about the choice that we're going to make. On the other hand, we can influence a lot in thinking about something. Like thought, I mean, and when I talk about thought, it's thought with a big T. That's the ability to think, is a creative force in the universe. And you can really, it's like Play-Doh. It's like Play-Doh. You can create pretty much what you want with that. And by focusing on what you want to create, you will have the experience of the thought that you're having, and that thought will react. I mean, will be your reality. You will have all the chemicals that are released in the body that correspond to the thought process that you have. Those chemicals, I call them the special effect of your reality. The more the stronger the emotion you will have on a thought, the stronger the special effect will come. All those chemicals will make your reality even more real, feel even more real. Very often, it also comes with a funnel vision. When you're under a strong emotion, That's the special effect. It makes it even more real. Where was I heading?
Because I was telling you, people might think it was control. So you were saying that we're the driver and the co-pilot.
We're the co-pilot because, in one hand, thoughts are coming. You want it or not, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. But on the other hand, you can control a lot of, no, you can mold a lot of the thinking that's coming and have an influence, a big influence on your experience. So that's one point. The second point is that understanding the thought process, understanding that you're creating your experience, also means that when you have an unconscious thought or a thought that's coming into your head, you have much more flexibility. You have the flexibility to follow it or not to follow it. If you don't frame it as being a big problem, P, you don't need to go and follow it and try to fix it. You don't need to put energy on that thought. It's going to go away, and another one is going to pop up in your head. So that's one thing. Where was I heading again? I'm getting lost by myself. The second thing is that you can use your brain to be creative and create the experience that you want. So you have a bit of leeway in what's going on up there. And by noticing, by understanding the structure of thoughts, you don't get caught anymore in your thought process. Whenever there's something that is harmful or that creates pain or some discomfort in your body, you go back to saying, okay, it's happening up there. I'm creating that. So there's somebody in front of you yelling, calling you names, and so on. The way you react, you might say, okay, this guy is making me mad or nervous or upset. Or you can also say, okay, I'm thinking about this guy and what he's telling me about myself. But here, it's happening here. I have the power to create whatever I want with this situation.
Yeah, I've met people who are just like, they're noticing that. I have a friend, he's like, oh yeah. So he's like, this one guy was attacking him, like literally, this guy was attacking him, and he had the thought, like he could have gone into protection mode, like this was a physical threat. He could have, gone into protection mode and started attacking, but he took his head and he saw it, and he was like, this is not going to go. He told this guy, this is not going to go the way you think it's going to go, dude. And they had this conversation, and they ended up having a drink together or something like that because of this whole thing. Because the guy, he really saw that this guy, was creating something of his own. I think that's like, I was flabbergasted when he told me that story. Because it's like, can you imagine? I'm not there yet. I have to admit, I'm not there. I see you when we interact together and we're in a group setting. I see you. It feels like you're like, okay, no, this is what I'm saying, but you kind of go get the information back. Like, what's going on here? You kind of like go check in instead of staying up there.
Yeah, that's right. This flexibility is very important. And on human relationship or interaction, very often the thought, the habit that I have is to ask myself, what must be true so that this particular person is saying what they're saying? So before I've got an emotions an interaction and so on, instead of thinking about myself and the emotion that I'm feeling, I'm curious. What must be true for that particular person to act the way that she acts? So it's more curiosity that comes instead of anger.
Yeah, you kind of change your focus, right? Because in the
Mm.
past, I'm sure you were angry, right? It was kind of like the trigger came and you listened to the emotion of anger. But now it's kind of like, wait, okay, I'm getting this emotion. Why are you getting this emotion? Like it's kind of like this thing that comes up and you do it quick, right? You
Yes.
it's a quick thing.
It's pretty quick. In fact, yeah, it's a bit like meditation. The more you start investing your energy into things, the more it gets it becomes a habit.
Yeah, I get it. So what is, from the moment that you started understanding this, like what is the biggest change or the biggest transformation that occurred for you in this understanding? Do can you don't maybe you don't have an answer, but do you have a pinpoint? Do you have a thing?
At one point in time, I was on a bus and I realized that what was true for me was true for everyone. So I was seeing the people on the bus. I realized that all those people were creating their reality in the same way. And by the way, when you interact with somebody that has issue, very often or is playing a drama, I call that on purpose drama. You also realize that they're creating their reality with their thinking. And you're more forgiving, for their behavior. First thing is, it's never about me. I never take that personally. But that was a big thing for me to realize that. Okay, what's true for me was a big aha. I'm creating my reality with my thoughts, but they're all doing the same thing. And the reality that they're creating is very different. And you just watching those people on the bus, completely taken into their thoughts, living a reality which has nothing to do with mine. Even though it's the exact same circumstance, same location, we're seeing the same thing, hearing the same thing, but boom, complete different realities. So what did it do for me? The first thing is that it's a never-ending story. My understanding is getting deeper and deeper, but I feel that I will never see the end of it. I'm getting more and more deeply into the three principles. And the only things that I see are goodies. So every time I've got a realization, I've got a goodie that comes with it. So it's pure, it's a road paved with gifts to go into that understanding. I'm much more calm, of course. Professionally, I think 6 months after I started looking at the three principles, I stopped preparing myself for meetings and interviews and so on, because I realized that you're better when you're not prepared, when you don't have the weight of all those thoughts in your head. Very often, you're trying to remember. In fact, all the scenarios that you've prepared the day before, where you're trying to be in control, and so you've looked at all the possibility that could happen during that meeting, I stopped doing that. And then
Yeah, I love that too.
I'm not prepared, and I've got the wisdom, my personal wisdom that expresses itself much more clearly because I'm not prepared.
Yeah.
The second thing that happens is that because you're not in your thinking process, you're in the flow, the connection that you have with the people which are in front of you is much better. You're more listening, you've got a connection with them, you know when to stop. You're listening to your wisdom much more because there is not the noise of remembering and your previous thinking that comes.
I love that. I mean, yeah, I love that part where we don't have to prepare. And I remember, you know, I never really, even at school, I didn't really study. You know, I wasn't a studier. I would just show up and I'd be like, oh, well, I know the, you know, I understood what was the material. So let me answer the questions, you know. And sometimes I would fail, but most of the time, you know, I was pretty good. I was a good student. And then I went through life like that. You know, I would show up at appointments and I wouldn't, and you know, I was a rep, right? I was a customer service representative, and it was kind of like, you know, they were all telling you, get prepared, go study the company and come in with knowing who the company is. And, you know, they were telling you all this stuff and I'd be like, eh, and I would just show up. And then I got into courses and I would just show up and then they'd be like, no, make a course, make a plan, like, you know, and I'd be like, ah, well, I'm going to do that. That's it, you know, but I wouldn't memorize anything. And I remember telling Michael, you know, it's like, but Michael, I never, Michael Neal. And I was like, but Michael, I don't prepare, you know, it's like, I really should prepare. I can't be speaking. And he was like, that's how I do it. You know? I was like, wait, what? That's how you do it? He's like, yeah, I show up and I, you know, I get an idea. I know what I'm going to talk about, but I show up and then I answer what's going on. And I was just flabbergasted about that. But it is true. We can trust. Like when we understand, our, I'm going to say our material, our stuff, our business, like you understood, you knew what your job was. You didn't have to prepare. Mm-hmm. You showed up and then people were like, of course, if they're asking you for numbers, you're going to need to have a list of your numbers, right? You don't have to memorize them. You can just go, okay, they're going to ask about this. Give me that. Give me that. Give me that. And then you can run the meeting. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So another goodies was my relationship with my thinking started to change a lot. 2 days ago, yes, I was explaining that we have, yeah, I think between 30 to 60,000 thoughts a day. And when I started understanding that I'm creating my reality with my thought, I started saying, okay, thought is what I'm feeling. What type of thoughts do I have? Then I started analyzing the type of thoughts that I have, capturing them almost in real time, trying to extract myself from this cycle to be able to observe my thoughts. And I realized that I had a lot of thoughts which were about myself, ego thoughts. And then a lot of judgmental thoughts. And then a number of thoughts about different topics and so on, future, past, and emotions, friends. But by looking at that, I started saying, okay, those ego thoughts, they are just hurting me whenever I have them. It's very rare that I have positive thoughts about myself. And when I do anyway, I can boost myself by saying I'm God. It doesn't last very long. And then there's guilt. I realized that all those ego thoughts were not useful. So there is no judging about the thoughts, saying they are bad thoughts or good thoughts. They are just not useful. So when I did that, I was able to start to filter those guys out, or at least not put any energy when I had them.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, if you have 30,000 thoughts about yourself during the day, if you filter that out, that gives you a lot of free space to have more creative thoughts.
Yeah.
You know? So Sydney Bank says happiness is comes through an empty mind. That was 30,000 thoughts gone was already a big step towards happiness if you look at it that way. After this process on thought, there is the search for good feeling. People call that happiness. But the search for good feeling. In studying the three principles, you have glimpses of time where you just start feeling really nice. Some very often it's through an empty head, or when you're in a deep connection, and that goes together, by the way. You can touch that feeling from time to time. Then when you touch it, you realize, okay, that's really what I want. I want to be there. And often those feelings, they're associated with ideas, because they're concept ideas of love, total openness, deep connection with people. Well, that's where we want to be. And the more you can start touching there, the more you find ways of getting there, the better your life becomes. And then when you can rest in that space and you can look at the world again, or connection problems, whatever you have, and you're coming from that space of love and openness, solutions are coming. Things are different. You're creating a different reality for you and for others. Because from that space, you've got much deeper connection. That has an impact on the person which is in front of you. You know, a person that feels a deeper connection with no judgment is going to open up. Then we can look together at what the issue is, or what the problem is, and through that prism, things are going to look very different.
Hervé, thank you so much for this conversation. We've already reached the end of our conversation, believe it or not.
It was a pleasure, Jasmine.
Before we leave, what are you up to now? You're retired and you're playing?
I'm just retired, so I'm looking toward for forward to sailing more, because I live right next to the sea. Do more, have more three principle conversation, and enjoy the people around me.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Hervé, for accepting my invitation. It was a pleasure, as usual. And I'm gonna bid you a good day, and I'm gonna tell everybody to dream it, dare it, do it, live the life you want. And I'll see you next episode. You have a good one. Take
Thank
care.
you. Thank you, Jasmine.
Thanks.